In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In our society, as you're growing up, especially as a young adult or a teen, if you know the job that you want to have, there are certain steps that you have to take to get there. You take the necessary courses to gain the required knowledge, and you intern or apprentice to gain the required experience. You put in time and training, working to perfect yourself in that job. Often, you're okay with working long hours, all in the hope of the reward. Money. And the same goes with school. If you want a certain grade, you pay attention in class, you ask questions, you do the work, complete all the assignments well, and you do all of this in expectation of the result, the grade, hopefully the knowledge. And in addition to Christ, we see in the gospel today this poor man, Lazarus, as an example of patient endurance in the hope of a reward. This man was sitting at the gate of the rich man every day and every night in hunger and in illness, desiring that the rich man should just share a little bit of his comforts. But we, as Christians, have a different orientation of our desire, or at least we ought to. We read in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, that Christ praises and blesses those who are humble and sorrowful, the meek, those desiring righteousness, and the merciful, those with pure hearts, and the peacemakers. Not the wealthy and the powerful, not the super strong or very attractive people. And he concludes the Beatitudes saying, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For great is your reward in heaven." I think we've heard this, most of us, many times. For great is your reward in heaven. So let us not lose sight of the true reward by instead desiring something else that is temporary and fleeting. In the gospel, Abraham says to the rich man, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." It's not to say that suffering equals heaven, but the manner of suffering of Lazarus, his faithful endurance, is what made him deserving of this reward. It's very likely that in his earthly life, this rich man was known by all, and hardly anyone knew who Lazarus was, this poor man. But in the kingdom, it's Lazarus who is known, and the rich man's name is not even mentioned. If our goal is notoriety, puffing up my pride, or material comfort, then all of those things that Christianity offers doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The crucifixion is foolishness. I had a very good friend's parent who, after watching The Passion of the Christ when it came out for the first time, was just that she didn't understand. Now, granted, that movie might be a little over the top. But she didn't understand how crucifixion equals love. But it does. If our goal is material comfort, then martyrdom is unthinkable. Going to church is a waste of time, unless maybe they're handing out flowers or palm leaves. And we can find any number of things to complain about, because anything that's unpleasant is unacceptable if our goal is material comfort and feeding our own ego. But if our hope is God's kingdom, then coming to the church to worship God means receiving a foretaste of that kingdom of heaven. Serving others becomes a joy. Putting up with slander without responding, it's nothing. It's easy. Because all is done in thanksgiving and in hope of the promised kingdom. St. Isaac of Syria said that if God is slow in answering your request, or if you ask but do not promptly receive anything, don't be upset, for you are not wiser than God. But how often do we do this? I do it. I think we all do it. God, I want something. I want this. Give it to me. No, give it to me faster. But we're not wiser than God. And so we faithfully and patiently wait for God's answer. Now, none of this is to say that the things of this world are bad in and of themselves, because they too were created by God, and they were created by God for us. But it's their misuse and disordered desire of them that is evil. They become sinful when they are given that place that the heavenly things ought to have. When they get in the way and obscure our sight of God's kingdom. God desires your salvation. And we have any number of desires. And often those desires are changing all the time. And like the rich man, we can often become spiritually nearsighted, only seeing things clearly when they're right in front of us. But thank God for the Bible and for Christ's church, which act as spiritual glasses for us to see clearly those things, even that are far off. So our attention is not only right here all the time. And we fast in expectation of the feast, and we work in the expectation of payment. And we can, like Lazarus, endure all things with faithfulness in expectation of the kingdom of heaven. Saints John and Matthew and Paul and maybe others, but those are the ones that I came across immediately. They all explicitly tell us that a servant is not greater than his master. And so if Christ was maligned and mistreated, how can we expect anything other than that? Certainly, we get other things than that, and thank God for them. But we should not be surprised when we too experience those things that Christ experienced. And in conforming ourselves to Christ, like Lazarus in his patient and faithful endurance, we too become heirs of the kingdom of heaven. That is our salvation. And may we glorify God in seeking it. Amen.